The world is changing fast, and things are going to get really fucking crazy. But we'll be okay because we have Bitcoin. We're winning, and we're building a parallel system outside of the broken fiat one. Take care of your family, take care of yourself, and take care of your future. Put another way, focus on what can be, unburdened by what has been. Greetings and salutations, my fellow plebs. My name is Walker, and this is the Bitcoin Podcast. The Bitcoin time chain is 853442, and the value of one Bitcoin is still one Bitcoin. It has been a pretty insane couple of weeks, and it's also been a while since I did a Bitcoin news roundup, so I figured I would quickly recap some of the Bitcoin news that's come out recently to get you all caught up, and then zoom out and give you some perspective on all of the political chaos we are currently witnessing in America, and more importantly, what all this means for Bitcoin and for you. You can find all the links and accounts mentioned in this episode via the article version of the show linked in the show notes or by going to bitcoinpodcast.net/words. If you are not already subscribed to the Bitcoin Podcast, wherever you are listening or watching, go ahead and do that, and then share it with your friends, family, or strangers on the internet. As a side note, my lovely wife Carla and I are going to be emceeing on Nakamoto Main Stage at the Bitcoin Conference here in Nashville coming up on Friday. So if you're there and want to say hi, please do so. It's our first conference back on the scene since our son arrived, so we are stoked to see our fellow plebs in the flesh again. Now, without further ado, let's get right to it and start off with some rapid-fire news. Germany finishes selling 50,000 bitcoins in what will be regarded by historians as one of the dumbest moves of all time. Via Bitcoin Archive, Senator Menendez, who said, "Bitcoin is the ideal choice for criminals," was just convicted for taking bribes in gold and cash, which is so strange because I thought only Bitcoin was used by criminals. Anyway, via BTC Times, the Liquid Federation adds 9 new members as Bitcoin on Liquid reaches a record high. Via The Block, Japan's Meta Planet buys an additional $1.2 million worth of Bitcoin, shares jump 21%, and that brings its total Bitcoin holdings to 245.992 BTC. Via Bitcoin Archive, China, world's largest bank, ICBC, says Bitcoin solves gold's problem of divisibility and being inconvenient to carry. Well, no shit, Sherlock, but glad to hear you say it. Via Crypto Slate, Putin warns of power shortages from Bitcoin mining, calls for expansion of CBDC, and as Alex Gladstein pointed out, breaking, dictators don't like freedom money, want centralized control. Via Peter McCormack, Rael Bedford has acquired 66.9 BTC for $4,500,420.69 at an average price of $67,220 per Bitcoin. At first, I thought this was a joke because of the 420.69, but I believe it to be factually correct. As of today, Rael Bedford hodls 82.7 BTC acquired for $5.37 million at an average price of $64,925 per Bitcoin. 15.8 BTC is held in float for football matters, the rest is held in our treasury. In more Bitcoin treasury news, publicly traded gaming company Boya bought $45 million of Bitcoin for its treasury. U.S. spot Bitcoin ETF balances have hit an all-time new high, now firmly over 900,000 BTC. Trump's VP pick, J.D. Vance, reportedly owns Bitcoin, according to his financial disclosures. And to round us out, a massive global Microsoft outage caused by cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike crippled banks around the world, but Bitcoin was unaffected. TikTok, next block. Now for a couple other stories. Craig Wright is a fraud. On July 17th, Fake Toshi, aka Craig Wright, was required by the courts to publish a legal notice on his website and social media. It's really a chef's kiss moment after this scumbag spent years trying to ruin the lives of people like Holdenaut and Peter McCormack. I'm going to read you the notice because it really is just wonderful. Legal notice: Dr. Craig Stephen Wright is not Satoshi Nakamoto. On 20 May 2024, Dr. Craig Stephen Wright was found by the High Court of England and Wales to have been dishonest in his claims to have been the person behind the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin. The court found that Dr. Wright lied to the court extensively and repeatedly in his evidence, and that he attempted to create a false narrative by forging documents, quote, on a grand scale, and presenting them in evidence. Overall, quote, all his lies and forged documents were in support of his biggest lie, his claim to be Satoshi Nakamoto. In advancing his false claim to be Satoshi through multiple legal actions, Dr. Wright committed a most serious abuse of the process of the courts of the UK, Norway, and the USA. The High Court formally declared as follows. First, that Dr. Wright is not the author of the Bitcoin white paper. Second, Dr. Wright is not the owner of the copyright in the Bitcoin white paper. Third, Dr. Wright is not the person who adopted or operated under the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto in the period between 2008 and 2011. Fourth, Dr. Wright is not the person who created the Bitcoin system. Fifth, Dr. Wright is not the author of the initial versions of the Bitcoin software. The full judgment and its appendix detailing various forged documents created by Dr. Wright is accessible at the following URL, judiciary.uk/judgments/COPA-v-Wright. Dr. Wright has been ordered not to commence any legal proceedings based on his false claims, by claim or counterclaim, or procure any other person to do so. He has also been ordered not to threaten any such proceedings, explicitly or implicitly, or procure any other person to do so. Ah, isn't that just lovely? The only thing that could make this any more satisfying is that the courts ordered him to legally change his name from Craig Wright to Craig Wrong. Karma is a bitch, Craig. Mark Cuban gets bullish. On July 17th, Mark Cuban put out a couple tweets that indicate he is extremely bullish on Bitcoin, and rightly so. Here's what he said. Part 1. Here is a contrary opinion on the emergence of Silicon Valley support for former President Trump, which, like all my opinions on here, probably won't be popular. It's a Bitcoin play. Not because the former president is a far stronger proponent of crypto. That's nice, but doesn't really impact the price of crypto. It makes it easier to operate a crypto business because of the inevitable and required changes at the SEC. What will drive the price of Bitcoin is lower tax rates and tariffs, which, if history is any guide, and it's not always, will be inflationary. Combine that with global uncertainty as to the geopolitical role of the USA and the impact on the US dollar as a reserve currency, and you can't align the stars any better for a BTC price acceleration. Part 2. How high can the price go? Way higher than you think. Remember, the market for BTC is global, and the supply has a final limit of 21 million BTC, with unlimited fractionalization. Keep that in mind as you consider what happens if, because of geopolitical uncertainty and the decline of the dollar as the reserve currency, BTC becomes a safe haven globally, which means that BTC could be what countries and all of us look to buy as a means to protect our savings. Crazy? It already happens in countries facing hyperinflation. And if things really go further than we can imagine today, and I'm not saying they will, just that this has a possibility somewhere above zero, then BTC becomes exactly what the Maxis envision, a global currency. All I'll add to Mark's tweets is that it's quite satisfying to see people come to the realization that Bitcoin is in a league of its own and that it might be worth getting some because it is catching on. Ultimately, Bitcoin is a hedge against uncertainty. In unpredictable times, Bitcoin is predictable. It has a fixed supply of 21 million, and no amount of fiat fuckery can change that. In a world filled with chaos, Bitcoin is calm, producing blocks every 10 minutes. In a world gone mad, Bitcoin is sanity. And speaking of a chaotic world gone mad, on July 13th, somebody tried to assassinate the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. We were literally one head turn away from potential civil war. But before we get into that, let's hit our sponsors quick. Just like you shouldn't trust politicians, you shouldn't trust your hardware wallet manufacturer. And that's why you should head to bitbox.swiss/walker and use the promo code Walker for 5% off the fully open source, Bitcoin only, Bitbox O2 hardware wallet. Then get your Bitcoin off the exchange and into your own self-custody so that they are actually yours and not just paper IOUs. The Bitbox O2 is easy as hell to use whether you are brand new to Bitcoin and it's your first hardware wallet, or you are a seasoned psychopath. It's Bitcoin only. And again, it is fully open source. You can head to their GitHub and verify for yourself. There's no need to trust me or to trust Bitbox. When you go to bitbox.swiss/walker and use promo code Walker, not only do you get 5% off, but you also help support this fucking podcast. Now, a lot of you listening to this show may already be deep down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. But if you're listening to this podcast and feeling a bit overwhelmed, don't sweat it. BitcoinConsulting.us has you covered. Some people go down the rabbit hole solo, but others want someone to guide them on their journey. If you're one of the latter, go to BitcoinConsulting.us. Whether you are an individual and you want someone to help you with your personal Bitcoin strategy, or you're a company and you want help integrating Bitcoin payments, implementing private projects, or maybe you just need some general contractor services, Bitcoin Consulting can take care of you. Go to bitcoinconsulting.us and book a consultation today. Again, that's bitcoinconsulting.us. Okay, we're back. So clearly things did not go according to plan with the Trump attempted assassination. And whatever narrative version you believe, I think we can all agree that there's a lot of things that do not add up here. I'm not going to get into all of these different theories on this, ridicule the Secret Service for their obvious failures, or review any of the bullshit propaganda coming out of the corporate media, because I'm sure you've already been inundated with it on social media and are probably a bit tired of it. So I'll just give a couple observations. One, they tried to scapegoat Trump for almost a decade, claiming he was the cause of all the problems in America rather than a symptom. And it didn't work. Trump's support only grew. Two, they tried to weaponize the law against Trump on multiple occasions, and it didn't work. Trump's support only grew, and he's running for president again. Finally, they tried to assassinate Trump months before the election, but they failed. Now, Trump's support is the greatest it has ever been. Additionally, I think it's important to point out that the obvious strangeness of the circumstances surrounding the attempted assassination of a former president and current presidential candidate have made a lot of people who were very much asleep start to wake up to the fact that maybe, just maybe, the media industrial complex and the anointed political elites are completely full of shit up to their eyeballs. It's like after the Trump-Biden debate when the corporate media became suddenly aware of Biden's obvious cognitive decline, apparently shocked by a fact that had been painfully obvious for a long time to those of us with eyes, ears, and functioning brains. It reminds me of the Orwell quote from 1984. "The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most essential command." Oh, and speaking of Biden, yesterday in a post on X, Joe Biden tweeted a letter allegedly signed by him saying he was stepping back as the Democratic nominee for president to focus on continuing to be president, which we all know he is clearly unfit to do anyway, but okay. Again, you'd need eyes, ears, and a functioning brain to realize that he is unfit, so I guess a lot of people are shit out of luck. This is again all very strange. We know that Joe Biden doesn't have control of his own Twitter account. That much is very obvious and it has been for his entire presidency. He's also obviously not cryptographically signing his messages like someone on Nostr would, but I don't think we're going to get Joe Biden on Nostr anytime soon, sadly. But anyway, we also know that any time the corporate media machine and status shills rally around a particular narrative instantly in a seemingly coordinated fashion, it's a sure sign that everything is not as it seems. It's obviously very weird that Joe Biden is still nowhere to be found. As many has suggested, does he even know that he resigned as the Democratic candidate, or was he out celebrating National Ice Cream Day only to come home and find that Jill had resigned for him? Furthermore, the fact that Joe Biden allegedly endorsed Kamala Harris via his Twitter, which again he does not control, without any sort of public appearance is all very strange. It's also very obvious that Kamala is probably the only person who is more laughable of a candidate than Joe Biden, no pun intended. As a side note, I also find it quite hilarious and ironic that the same Democratic Party that spent the last few years calling a walking tour of the Capitol an insurrection just orchestrated a soft coup against their nominee, the sitting president. I don't want to spend too much time on all of this because, again, it's literally all anyone is talking about on social media, so you've probably been inundated with innumerable theories about what's actually going on, and half of your timeline asking, where is Joe Biden? But again, while Joe Biden stepping down is unprecedented, it is in no way unexpected. Everyone who has been paying attention knew this was going to happen. It was only a matter of time. Zooming out, I think this whole saga is yet another instance of more and more people beginning to wake up to the absurdity that is our political circus. The Biden administration has clearly showed people that the president is not actually in charge of the country and is not making real decisions. The position is just a figurehead. Which, of course, makes the curious mind wonder. Who is really in charge and pulling all the strings if it's not the person you voted for? What I do want to talk about a little bit is the signal amidst all this noise. To me, the signal is that former President Donald Trump and presidential candidate RFK Jr., as well as other senators and members of Congress, are going to be in Nashville this week speaking at the Bitcoin conference, alongside the developers, entrepreneurs, and educators who have been driving Bitcoin adoption for years, and make a moment like this possible. Given the Bitcoin conference is nestled snugly between the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention, this year really is the Bitcoin National Convention. And in case you hadn't noticed, Bitcoin is very much on the ballot this year. RFK Jr. has been vocally pro-Bitcoin since he announced that his campaign would be accepting Bitcoin donations at the Bitcoin conference in Miami last year. He's also spoken at length about different ideas that he has for Bitcoin, like backing the US dollar with a basket of commodities, which includes Bitcoin. More recently, Bitcoiners have clearly gotten the ear of Donald Trump in his campaign, and he's spoken positively about Bitcoin and crypto, to be fair. It's clear at this point that his understanding of the significance of Bitcoin is probably not especially deep. But he's also not stupid, so he realizes a good opportunity to drum up support and fundraise when he sees one. I think he's also accurately identified that if the United States does not continue to be a leader in the Bitcoin industry, then another country, like China, will step in and fill the void. And that would be to the detriment of the United States and American citizens. Now, I think it's important to point out exactly what this means for Bitcoin and for Bitcoiners. We all know that Bitcoin doesn't care. And as I've said many times, Bitcoin doesn't need politicians. Politicians need Bitcoin. That said, if given the choice between having a government that is vocally pro-Bitcoin or vocally anti-Bitcoin, I will obviously pick the former. It's easier to swim with the current than against it. Bitcoin will succeed and is succeeding, regardless of the actions of any one administration or country, because Bitcoin is global, borderless, and unstoppable. But selfishly or patriotically, as an American, I want my country to be pro-Bitcoin. Because we're America, goddammit, and we fucking should be. That said, I am also not holding my breath and assuming that candidates that make campaign promises that I like will honor those campaign promises once they get elected. This would be fucking stupid. I am, however, hopeful about the future of Bitcoin, Bitcoin mining, and the potential for Bitcoin companies in general to thrive in America if the state is not actively fighting against them, trying to make their lives more difficult. But let's be honest about why politicians are now starting to fall over themselves to show that they are pro-Bitcoin. It's not because Bitcoin is really neat freedom tech. It's because Bitcoin and Bitcoiners are growing more powerful and influential every single day, and will be the most powerful economic and cultural force in the world in the decades to come. Bitcoiners, who save the value of their time and energy in the hardest money humanity has ever discovered, are increasing their purchasing power drastically relative to the rest of the populace. Bitcoiners, Toxic Maxi specifically, as we all know, are incredibly ferocious when it comes to attacks on Bitcoin. Any new piece of FUD that has ever been trotted out by anti-Bitcoin propagandists is immediately dismantled by a horde of angry cyber hornets who love nothing more than to meme idiocy into oblivion. I think it is important to remind you, my fellow Bitcoiners, that we are in the power position now. Politicians are coming to us to try and win our votes and to try and get our donations, naturally. This didn't happen out of nowhere, though. It's thanks to the hard work of countless Bitcoiners who wouldn't fucking shut up about Bitcoin over the last 15 years. We are at a turning point both nationally in America and globally, and because Bitcoin is supranational, it exists independent of any one nation state, and Bitcoiners are a global force to be reckoned with, we have an incredible amount of power and leverage. We are no longer in the position where we need to feel the need to grovel and beg to try and get politicians to pay attention to us so they don't govern us into oblivion. They are paying attention. Everyone is paying attention. All eyes are on Nashville for this conference. Will Trump's speech be a stream of fairly empty platitudes that get cheers from the crowd but fail to deliver anything of real substance? Perhaps. Or perhaps it will be something truly groundbreaking, like a pledge to develop a strategic Bitcoin reserve, as has been floated by a number of people on social media. And let's not forget RFK Jr. Again, he has been pro-Bitcoin longer than Trump. He's also an independent and has garnered a massive amount of support, even as an independent candidate outside of the red-blue duopoly, even while being vilified by both folks on the right and on the left. The fact that both the independent candidate for president and the Republican candidate for president are now vocally pro-Bitcoin is crucial because it forces the hand of the Democratic Party. They have two options: maintain their current course, which means continuing to be generally anti-Bitcoin, or change course to try and lean into a pro-Bitcoin, pro-freedom agenda, taking away that piece as a bargaining chip and a cudgel to be used by Republicans and independents against them. Obviously, the Democratic Party becoming vocally pro-Bitcoin is by far the smartest thing they could do, because it takes that power away from Donald Trump or RFK to be able to say, "I'm different because I support Bitcoin." If we do reach this fascinating point in history where somehow presidential candidates for all political parties in the US are pro-Bitcoin, what does that mean going forward? Well, it means we are even more powerful than before. This is something Michael Saylor predicted at the Bitcoin conference in Miami last year. I was privileged enough to be on the panel for the news desk with Saylor, Guy Swan, and Pete Rizzo. Saylor said that in the next election, politicians would be competing to see who is more pro-Bitcoin, and that's exactly what we have right now. Of course, with the notable exception of the Democratic candidate. Now, at the moment, that candidate appears to be Kamala Harris, but in my opinion, there is no way she ends up being the final Democratic nominee. So it will be very interesting to see if anyone from the Democratic Party ends up making an appearance at the Bitcoin conference, whether it's Kamala or whoever ends up vying for the nomination ahead of the DNC next week. Again, it would be stupid of them not to, but let's not put it past them. My fellow Bitcoiners, this is an incredible moment. This is a turning point. We are not in defense mode. Again, we are in the power position. But we should continue to be wary, to be doubtful, to question everything, especially when what we are told sounds just a little too good to be true. That doesn't mean we can't get excited and hopeful about the possibilities, but we should also not assume candidates will honor their campaign promises. To do so would be to ignore both reality and history. So, my fellow Bitcoiners, I will leave you with this. The world is changing fast, and things are going to get really fucking crazy, but we'll be okay because we have Bitcoin. We're winning, and we're building a parallel system outside of the broken fiat one. Take care of your family. Take care of yourself, and take care of your future. Put another way, focus on what can be, unburdened by what has been. And that's a wrap on this Bitcoin News Roundup episode of the Bitcoin Podcast. If you are a Bitcoin-only company interested in sponsoring another fucking Bitcoin podcast, head to bitcoinpodcast.net or hit me up on social media. If you enjoyed this show, share it, tag me, and let me know what you thought. You can find me on Noster by going to primal.net/walker. If you want to follow The Bitcoin Podcast on X, go to @titcoinpodcast and @walkeramerica. You can also find the video version of this podcast at youtube.com/@walkeramerica and @walkeramerica on Rumble. Bitcoin is scarce. There will only ever be 21 million. But Bitcoin podcasts are abundant. So thank you for spending your scarce time to listen to another fucking Bitcoin podcast. Until next time, stay free.